Active Kabbalah is a nonprofit organization founded for the distribution of the wisdom of Kabbalah and its values. It serves to support the growing need for a spiritual movement and promotes the self-education of the wisdom of Kabbalah, and therefore empowers the student to achieve his or her life goals. Learning the original principles of this wisdom can reconnect us with the true values of our society, including the belief in the dignity and freedom of man, democracy, and the freedom of speech.
Hello everyone, today we're talking about the month of Elul, the month of Virgo. And Virgo is a very special month, because here we're not just talking about month by itself, but it's a month that is serving a purpose, because the month of Virgo is the month that is the gate for Rosh Hashanah, which is the new year. And we will see how the whole way, as I say, that the month has been created, it was created, designed, and perfectly made to serve a purpose as the gate for the new year and a preparation for the new year. First of all, it is known in the Jewish tradition that the month of Elul, the month of Virgo, is the month of repentance. And the tradition will say why it's the month of repentance, but if because of some historical background. The Israelites are leaving Egypt on Passover, spring. Okay? 49 days in the desert, and the 50th day they have the Mount Sinai relation, Shavuot. Okay? Moses is going on Shavuot, going to Mount Sinai. He's going there, staying with God for 40 days, 40 nights. He's coming back after 40 days. It's a month of Tammuz, which is Cancer. And then there's the sin of the golden calf. Okay? Sin of the golden calf. The two tablets are broken, and now Moses has to reorganize everyone, to get everyone together again, to get rid of the chaos, and then, on the new moon of Virgo, he goes back to Mount Sinai with two more tablets to engrave them again, to inscribe on them again the 10 utterances, okay? So he goes again to Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, like there is a correction of the first 40 days and 40 nights. He's going on Mount Sinai up to the mountain on the new moon of Elul, the moon of Virgo. He stays there 40 days and 40 nights, and he comes back when he achieves complete forgiveness. And what day is it when he comes back from Mount Sinai? 40 days after the new moon of Virgo is always Yom Kippur. So since then, it's like this month, these 40 days are considered to be 40 days of repentance and cleansing from sins. That the top of these 40 days is the last day, which is Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur. That Yom Kippur is the day of forgiveness, the day of atonement, and stuff like this. Okay? So, since then, traditionally, it is taken then, being known, that this is the time for forgiveness and atonement, which is starting on the new moon of Virgo, and it completes in on the day of Yom Kippur. That's tradition. But if you go to the Kabbalists will say no. What comes first? The egg or the chicken, right? What comes first? Was it that because Moses went on Mount Sinai and stayed there for 40 days, that it became days of repentance and cleansing? Or because it was from the beginning, God created these days as days that are capable of cleansing and forgiveness, this is why Moses chose those days to be on Mount Sinai, because he knew that those days had this power even before it happened. The Kabbalists believe that it was like this before, and we will see how they bring the proofs that these days were meant to be the days of cleansing and repentance, and these days have a special magical power that awakens in the human heart the desire to connect to a higher state of mind and to connect to the question of, like, you know, most people, they just, how they live their lives, they just schlep around, right? You know how you're schlepping? It's like you schlep yourself from bed to work, then you schlep yourself from work home, then you schlep yourself from at home just to do your, you know, the minimum possible, and then you schlep yourself to bed, and then you schlep yourself out of bed, and it's just the whole, you know, whole life is kind of schlepping issue that you're just pushing and pulling, and it's like, oh, you're just going there. And yeah, for most people, that's the way it looks like. And how many people are motivated as they get up in the morning with, wow, the universe is amazing. There's so much to do. There's so much to reveal and to connect my soul to. And you're just running after that, and you're just motivated by that, and you're excited about everything you do because there's a greater purpose. You know, the people you know personally, how many of them are schlepping around, and many of them are being really motivated to just feed their soul with a purpose of life? You know exactly what I'm talking about. Correct? The problem is that if you live your life in a schlep, like this, okay, and then it becomes a schluff.
Which is a sleeping.
Well, that's worse.
Right?
That's right.
You're just sleeping along the year, and it just a year passed by. Like, oh my God, a year passed by.
Right.
What have I done during the last year? What have I done the last 2 years? And you know, I have the same, oh, I was dealing with these problems and that problems and other problems and so on. But did anything change? Or you have the same regurgitated problems? You're still, you know, recycling them. Because, you know, that's the problems you know. And because you know them, you stick to them and you just hang around them. Now 10 years later, a friend will find you. He'll find you in the same place he left you 10 years earlier. Nothing changed. Just more wrinkles and stuff like this. You're just busy with the same issues. You're excited about the same, you know, little by little, about the same nonsense. And you're tired from the same nonsense. And you're just like, you know, like aggravated by the same issues. Which means, did you really live the last 10 years? Did you really live? Or are you just like going through answering machine syndrome? Right? Just playing the same thing again and again and again and again. The Groundhog's Day, exactly. That's a very good movie to watch during this time. That you can tell yourself like, oh my God, I'm like, what part of my life am I just reliving again and again and again? Now, the month of Elul is about looking at your life and saying like, where are the parts of my life that I'm just schlepping around and I have no energy of it? Not just that I'm not getting any energy from that, it's draining. So how do I recreate my life? How do I come to my senses and ask myself the question, what am I doing here? Who am I? And where am I going to? This is the time. Why is the time? The Kabbalists will explain. And let's start with the most powerful and magical text of Kabbalah, which is the Book of Formation, Sefer Yetzirah. Sefer Yetzirah, like written by, according to the Kabbalists, by Abraham. Some say he didn't write it, he composed it, and it was like people knew it by heart from one generation to another, and only later on it was written. If you read the book, it's like it's written like a riddle. And it's, there's nothing like, there's no, it doesn't look like, not like the Bible. Not like any other religious book that was written. It's a riddle that is talking about the structure of the universe. Okay? Yeah. Abraham. And it's about the structure of the universe, and the easy part to understand is the fact that it's talking about astrology. And we know Abraham was an astrologer before he retired and started to go around with sheep and the cattle. That was only when he was after retired. Remember, like most people think he was a shepherd. No, he was not a shepherd. He was a city person. He was an astrologer till he was thrown out of his hometown. Or only then he started to become a nomad. All his life he lived in one of the most prosperous city, is a city in the world, the city of Ur, which is South Iraq of today.
So was his father an idol maker?
His father had the biggest factory of idol, of idol statues and stuff like this. But he didn't, from legends, he didn't work in his father's business.
He didn't.
He did not. He tried one day, and there was a big mess. Yeah. You don't know the story?
No, I heard.
He made a big mess. It's like his father threw him out of the business after one day.
Okay.
So he had to make a living from something, not from sheep, because he was not a shepherd.
Just to say it's not in the stars, and that's why he became.
Okay. So, Okay. So let's start with the Book of Formation. It says, "In God, Himlich Ot Yud veKasher Lo Keter veTzava Betulah baOlam veElul baShana veChuliyas Mo baNefesh." And God gave the power, the reign, to the letter Yud, gave it a crown, and formed with the letter Yud the sign of Virgo in the cosmos. The sign of Virgo has been created
from the letter Yud.
So you ask,
the sign of Virgo is like a big
constellation in the heavens. How can you create such a big constellation for such a letter, the letter Yud?
And the question is, did anybody saw a chromosome?
No.
It's even tinier than a Yud,
right? The chromosome of a human being. It's tinier from a Yud.
But the amount of information of a bunch of chromosomes,
you can create a whole human body from something you don't even see. So,
does anybody have a problem
from something very small, you can create something very big? No, we already know that. Okay?
So in the letter Yud, there is all information and the energy frequencies from that evolved that thing that we call, in our physical senses, the constellation of Virgo. Or astrologer will say, this is a zone, the sun goes through this zone, this means that we have a special energy zone that we humans go through during this time.
Okay?
And that's in the month. So the constellation of Virgo, and it's called
the month of Elul, E-L-U-L, in the Hebrew calendar.
Okay? Now, another part of it that we need to know, it's about that we know that the month of Elul, the month of Virgo, is also ruled by the planet
Mercury.
It's very important to understand what Virgo is about. And it says about Virgo, about Mercury, Himli Ot Reish, again, gave the kingdom and the reign to the letter Reish, and gave it a crown and formed with that Kochav.
Kochav is the Hebrew name for Mercury, and it means a star. Simply a star. That's a planet that is called a star. Not the star, a star.
Okay? Connected also to the sixth day of the week, Friday. Okay? So, בצער כוכב בעולם ויום שישי בשנה ונחיר שמאל בנפש. Okay? Now,
what is that giving to us?
So, what do we know about Virgos? Okay, let's go about the simple stuff that we know about Virgos. What do we know about Virgos? We know that Virgos, they are very...
Let's start with the positive stuff. Okay?
Most Virgos, they have kind of tendency to perfection.
They have a tendency to perfection. If you want me to do proofreadings for you, only a Virgo.
Never let... Only a Virgo. Virgos, they can hold
the paper with eyes closed and they will feel where is the grammar or spelling mistake.
That's like Virgos, you don't have to read the document to find the mistakes.
True Virgo will feel where the mistake is. Okay?
Don't give, for instance, to air signs to do proofreadings for you because that's a lost case. Okay? I'm saying the perfect Virgo. Some are not. Because remember, every human being is also his rising sign. You have the Hebrew sign and the solar sign. It's not that small. Okay.
So as we say, perfection. profession.
If you heard the story about the princess on the pea, that's a Virgo. That's a Virgo. I always remember that story. Once I'm being a lecturer, there are 100 people in the class. 100 people in the class, and I give a lecture. And then I realize, I have some Virgo also, and I realize the picture on the wall behind me is a little bit off. Now I have two Virgos in the crowd, two famous Virgo, typical Virgos, in the crowd, and I don't change, I don't do anything in the picture, I want to see how they behave. So I see both of them, like, looking, they can't concentrate, they're looking at the picture, and they can't think about anything else. And they're starting to sweat. And they're so stressed out from the fact that the picture is off, that they're just like, they're so stressed out, till finally in the middle of the class, in front of 100 people, one of them can't anymore. He gets up, and he goes to the wall, fixes the picture, sits back, and does like, ah. The other Virgo, six rows behind him, gets up and knocks, you know, taps on his shoulder and says, thank you, thank you. Yeah. Now they were relaxed and they go on listening to the class. But that's what Virgo is about. It's like this, they need to have perfection. Now, either you can make a living out of it, and I'll show you how, but that's about the Virgo tendency. For perfection, that's why they're very good in designing, graphic designing, designing of homes, architecture. They have the tendency to create perfection, to create a feeling of perfection. Like a real architect or designer, they have the ability to come to a room that feels messy, uncomfortable, that people don't like to be in that room, and just move around some stuff. And then you come inside and you say like, wow, this is so nice, so heavenly feeling. That's the power of Virgo. The ability to feel, to sense perfection. And we'll see why. It means also perfection, and that everything has to be exact. Very precise. Virgo. There are a lot of, like, they're very intellectual. Although they're earth sign, we'll see Kabbalists are teaching that they're more air than earth. Although one thing about them that is earthy, they're practical. They're practical, but they're very intellectual, they're very emotionally dry, like air signs. Okay. They're very organized, of course. They, you know, most Virgos can't stand this mess up. There's a mess. They have to fix the mess. They have to tidy up all the time. Okay. One thing, you know, but Virgos, a lot of Virgos are into service. Serving others. That's why they're going to be nurses, or a lot of them go into alternative medicine, which is a lot about serving people. Caring and serving for people. And also because of their tendency to perfection, they're always like, they're very much into the health food issue and the right. You know, if you want to know exactly what's in, about find a Virgo and it will update you what's in the new nutritional alternative stuff. Okay. That can go also bad, because we know every sign has, whatever is good can become bad. Nothing is, there's no sign that is good, there's no sign that is bad. It's like, whatever you do for it, that's your free choice. The negative is that because they're such perfectionists, and you know, this world is not about perfectionism. This world is not about black and white. This is not about being exactly the way it's supposed to. You have, when you live in this world, you have to know that you have to face compromise all the time. For Virgos, this is the curse. And it makes them pessimistic very much. Very pessimistic because, you know, if you have goals that are so perfect and you can't achieve these goals, you become a pessimistic. Right? And it makes you also to be sarcastic. And also with relationship to people, they have such an ability to see details that nobody else can see. So they can, you know, when they meet someone, they can see their imperfections so easy. And therefore, the highest rate of singles is among Virgos. They couldn't find the perfect person yet, because a perfect person was not born yet. There are no perfect people. There are no perfect people. People are imperfect. That's what is a human being. You want to marry an angel, you have to die first, because, you know, it doesn't work. And the problem is that, you know, you can get a lot of ego because of this, because if you see everybody's faults all the time, you start to think that you are, you know, next to God. Because of the
sensitive part is their belly
and the solar plexus, because they're very sensitive
to imperfections that make them really
painful. And also because of their sensitive mind, they have tendency to all kinds of other psychosomatic diseases. Okay? One thing about
you can't miss about Virgos is
details. The details people.
They can see every detail of everything. Whatever is there, whatever is not there, whatever is right, whatever is wrong.
You know, too many trees, you can't see the forest. So Virgos has a problem that they see so many details, they forget
the picture. They can forget the picture. That's the negative side of the Virgos.
And if they tell you a story, you will just miss the story just because of so many details. And you ask him, like, can you exactly explain to me,
why do you need to tell me
these and these details? Oh, you'll understand in the end. You never understand. Only Virgos can understand that. Right. Although every
picture is made of
dots, a little detail, but
the resolution is very high with a Virgo.
Okay, and that's why they can become very annoying many times. Virgos can become very annoying because they need to tell you all the details when, you know, this is,
you know, we're talking about a very high intensity era. And you're on the way and you have to listen to a story and you know it's not going to end. And it can be annoying.
And they just, no, but you have to hear that. And no, they have, I don't want to hear that.
But you have, no, I don't want to.
But you can't tell them because they get hurt.
And then they find something else wrong with you and they get very
annoyed with you, can be very angry about you. So be careful.
They spend a lot of time in therapy, do they?
If they
spend, you know, a lot of time, they should have a lot.
No, but they should, but they don't.
Okay.
Virgos, it's an earth sign, so they need water signs usually. And they will understand earth signs, other earth signs also.
So like Aquarius?
Aquarius, no.
Oh.
Very.
What's the one after Aquarius? Pisces.
Pisces and Virgo are complementary with each other because Pisces needs a lot of details and the Virgo will give all the details, so it's perfect.
Okay, I don't want to go into this. You can read in every, you know, $2 booklet in the supermarket and get about astrology. Anyway, you won't remember all of it. Okay.
They have a lot. They're very analytical, as we said, a lot in their minds.
And so even in relationships, they become very analytical. That's very dangerous. It's all give and take. It's
like they're doing an accounting. That's another job that's good. They're good with is accounting. Because
here, the details,
that's something they can bring to perfection. The numbers, and the numbers are not flimsy like others, you know, other jobs.
That's what they're going to be good with. Okay, they can be very stingy, and because of looking at the details. And again, remember about cleanliness and tidy, they become an obsession. Okay, the major thing you can tell about a Virgo is they have this like intense need to criticize other people. So you can say that you can divide
the Virgos into two. They're the ones who are really busy criticizing
others
and taking care of themselves. And they are the ones that are busy criticizing themselves and taking care of others. And you can find both kinds of Virgos. The ones who are really sharing, taking care of others, and the ones who are really busy with themselves and criticizing others. Okay, so that's like the basics.
Now, how does
that go along with what we read in the Book of Formation?
Okay. Now, let's see.
Let's start from the Zohar.
The Zohar goes to trying to explain the word Virgo.
Of course, it's in Hebrew, it's the
Virgo, it's Betula.
Betula is a simple word that means a virgin.
That the word Virgo is
coming from. Okay, it's a virgin.
Now, what's special about a virgin?
And the Zohar says,
a virgin is, the word Betula comes from the word Betuel,
or Beito Beit El. It's a game of words in Hebrew that means either the daughter of God or the house of God, which both have same meaning.
The daughter of God is
the virgin woman, that she comes directly from the source,
and she is not adulterated,
which means this is, everything is in a unadulterated state of perfection because it's coming from God.
Other explanations will be that because the letter Yud who created the sign of Virgo
is the perfect explanation of that, because the letter Yud, if the Kabbalists say, if you take every letter, it starts from a Yud.
You draw a Yud
because the Yud is a small dot. You draw a Yud, and from the Yud you continue to draw the letter, which means the Yud, like the crude letter. You draw a Yud, you can leave it as a Yud. You can make from it an Aleph, or a Bet, or a Gimel, or a letter.
But potentially, the moment you draw a Yud, you have everything inside.
That's the virgin, like a virgin land. Everything, you can have a whole high-rise project, you can have a theme park, you can grow tomatoes. Virgin land, everything is there in potential. So everything is there. Everything is there unleashed or unreleased yet. Better to say.
Like stem cells.
Like stem cells, exactly. So that's the crude thing that is everything. Also, the Yud, numerical value is 10.
10 Sfirot of the Tree of Life.
Everything is complete because everything in the universe has been created from these energies of the 10 Sfirot that somehow they stem out of it and they branch out of it.
Everything branched somehow out of
these original 10 Sfirot. So we're talking about the same original force that is the letter Yud, and therefore you can say that the Virgo is the ability to connect to that unadulterated, complete system that is totally godly. And there we come to the Beit El, which is the house of God. The house of God is a place that is the dwelling place of the light of God.
In order for the light of God to dwell, it has to dwell, because
the light of God is perfect. It cannot dwell on an imperfection. And therefore you have to create.
How do you imagine the house of God?
As a messy, stinking, terribly designed place? Or a super organized, beautiful, harmonious place? What's it?
Of course,
it doesn't work always, but deep inside,
most people will tell you harmonious,
perfected, beautiful, clean place. That's how you imagine the house of God.
Because the light of God needs to dwell in a perfected place.
Because
because the law of affinity, if something is perfected and harmonious,
then it can draw the source of harmony, which is the light of God. Is that clear?
So, it's all coming from that letter Yud, that is crude, positive, perfected energy. And why is it connected to the sign of Virgo? It's because when it's a sign of Virgo, it's affecting not just the Virgos, it affects everyone. We all becoming more Virgo.
The Virgo in us, and as Abraham explains, every human being is not one sign. A human being is a composition of 12 signs, while the sign of his birth is the dominant one. You can find in every human being all 12 signs. But what happens when we come into a sign, a certain sign, that sign becomes more dominant than it used to be before. What does it mean?
So when you start the month of Virgo,
either people become nuts because they start to see their imperfections and they get very annoyed about their imperfections or other people's imperfections, and that's very annoying. It's like somebody give a magnifying glass and you start to see what's wrong with everything, with everyone.
Virgos live like this 24/7, 365 days a year. But when you're not used to it, you're just like this kind of a, let's say, an Aquarius.
Everybody is nice, everybody's great, everything, you know, everything goes, and so on and so on. And suddenly you get this like magnifying glass of a Virgo. It's like, it's very upsetting. It's like, where was this till now? It was all the time. You didn't have
the magnifying glass of the Virgo.
You didn't see it. You didn't like to see it. You ignore it because it's nice. It's much nicer to love everyone the way they are and just, you know, to ignore all the shortcomings. Okay, to be very naive and, you know, it's a nice way to do it. To be like, you know, in the 60s, long hair, love, make love, no war. Everything's so simple. You know, childish, simple stuff. Right? But become a Virgo. It's like, what is that? Okay, so that what's happening in Virgo, or you can use that, remember, as the gate for Rosh Hashanah.
Why? Because remember what we talked about the Yud?
The Yud is the energy of the Virgo, the energy of the Virgin, the energy of the house of God.
Each one of us has both.
We have the true real self, and we have the fake self.
Our fake self is a self that is more dominant usually.
It's basically made of our fears and our pains
and all the stuff that is basically our shells.
And you know,
most people do not really know
who they are because they're so consumed with their problems.
So because you're so consumed with your problems, you have no idea who you are and what you're supposed to do in this world. So you're so remote from your true self. It takes a lot of work to connect to the true self. But the problem is, as long as you don't connect to the true self, you can't be excited of life, out of life. You cannot be energized because of your life. And you don't really have that major powerhouse, which is your soul, working for you. On the other hand, you have it as someone locked deep inside and screaming, help, help, let me out. And the more pressure, the more troubles you get into because you get stressed out. And when you're stressed out and you're painful, you start to find the blame in other people. Instead of looking inside and saying like, who's screaming help? Where's the pain? How can I find the source of the pain? My real true desire, my real true need to be the person that I was created to be. Instead of to be the person that is busy fixing all kinds of stuff that has nothing to do with who I am and what I am. And that's why you have to understand, most people, if you take away all their problems, they'll have an identity crisis. Because they have no idea who they are. What do you really want? You know, most people will tell you, I want to get rid of my pain and my trouble. But is that what you really want? That's not a real want. That's not a real want. So what are you going to do after you get rid of all your troubles? After you get rid of all, I'm going to rest. But what are you going to do? Which means you didn't even start being alive. You're just going around extinguishing, and that's why you're schlepping yourself from one place to another, because what's so exciting with this fire extinguishing life that you're just busy recycling the same problems? Maybe different people, different town, different city. But if you really look at people, they're mostly the same problems they had when they were in their 20s. They recycle them in their 30s, and they recycle them again in their 40s, in their 50s, and then they start to rot. Because of that, just like dwelling on the same compost of recycled issues. And that's how it smells and that's how it feels. And you ask the person, but who are you? What are you?
What did you come to this world for? Do you think that God sent you to this world to pay the mortgage? Let's say you pay the mortgage. What are you going to do now? Did God send you to the world to solve this health issue that you have? What if you didn't have this health issue? What do you do with your life?
This is the point. 30 days after Virgo starts is the day of judgment. It's Rosh Hashanah. What does it mean, the day of judgment? It's the day that we have to face the truth.
That's judgment.
And the truth is very simple. God is endless,
and endless good and love and bliss.
Cannot be less than endless. When Rosh Hashanah comes, on sunset
of the 29th of Elul,
as the stars come out, every human being dies.
He's like, say, the battery is finished, and it takes a split second to change it with the battery.
God is supplying to every living thing,
human being,
just Jews, by the way,
every human being with a new battery that is
having endless bliss, love,
energy, creativity, sustenance,
whatever you want. No. Whatever God wants to give us. It's not what we want, because that's very limited.
God's sharing is unlimited. Our desires are very small and very petty.
Now the problem is like this. If you get an injection of endless bliss into your system,
but your battery is leaking,
your engine is, you didn't change oil for a long time, so everything is rusty and sticky over there, and you're
not maintaining the system. So even if you get an injection of superpower of energy, what would it do to your
life, to your machine? Would burn it out.
Burn it out.
You get crude energy of life.
But if you're not ready, you'll be burned. And that's why it's called Judgment Day.
It's a day of judgment.
God's light will come in somehow. But if we are full of nonsense, which is stress, unhappiness, depression, anger, jealousy, disappointment. You know what usually people are full with? There's no space for that light of God to come in and to fill up the system.
So somehow God will get some through, maybe to keep you alive another year. To schlep another year. Okay? You know these cars that like, they schlep. They get from one point A to point B, but that's not, you know. It's not a Maserati. It's not even a simple Honda. It just came out of the dealership. It's simply a drag.
And a pain in the neck.
And that's how it looks like.
Is it because God punishes me? No. It's because simply I didn't maintain the system and I didn't do any cleansing in order to get myself to be there on Rosh Hashanah, clean and open up, saying, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready for the run. I'm ready for the run towards the next year. I'm ready to be excited, to be creative, to take responsibilities and to create so much great stuff. That when the year is over, I look backwards and say, wow, that was a century. I've done so much. Me a year ago and me today, it's a whole different world. It's a different person. A whole year, according to Kabbalah, it's a whole life. It's a new reincarnation.
You can live a whole life in 1 year. A whole life. And start another new life, totally new, the next year. That's the way it is. That's a gift of Rosh Hashanah.
But you have to be ready for that.
So, the month of Virgo is supplying that magical energy. The energy of finding myself. Finding the true me. The true virgin me. The virgin, which means the way I came from God. My real desires. What did I really wanting to do? What do I really want? Because, you know, it's like they say repentance, repentance, repentance. Define repentance. Telling God, oh God, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I've done so much. What? So, you're so sorry? I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to do it. And you know what? It's like, you know, you're walking on a roof. Or a tightrope. And you say, I'm not going to fall, I'm not going to fall. That's exactly what's going to happen. You're going to fall. Why? Because you didn't say, I'm going forward, I'm going forward, I'm going forward. Because usually the brain and the soul cannot accept the negative. You know, try to tell yourself, I'm not angry, I'm not angry, I'm not angry. The more you say it, the more angry you become. In order to stop being angry, you have to think about love, happiness, and tranquility, not about anger. So repentance is not, I'm not going to be bad anymore. No, you're just regurgitating the same old emotions. Just suppressing them till they burst. So, the word repentance is the wrong word. And you know what? In Hebrew, it doesn't use the word repentance. It uses the word tshuva, that by mistake, like many of the Hebrew words, it's being translated into repentance. Tshuva does not mean repentance. It means return. Which means return to what? Return to the true me. Return to my true self. Return to my true self that is God-like, that is a spark, divine spark of God that was implanted in me. It's called my soul. It is my soul. And returning to that me, real me, which is hidden in so many layers of nonsense, that's what Virgo is about. It's like sifting through rubbles and finding the treasure. And that's what this month of Virgo is about. Finding the treasure. Finding what is that I really want. Because when I really... What the Kabbalists are saying is that on month of Virgo, because of this energy of the Yud, it's like God is awakening such a passion in the world that touches the soul. And if you're really working on yourself, you allow that to start to vibrate inside you. And then you hear that voice inside saying, hello, I'm here. Who are you? I'm your soul. I'm your true self. I'm the part of you that is real you. You came to the world to be this. You didn't come to the world to do all of this stuff around that you're doing. Oh yes, you have to make a living. You have to do... But you make a living as a way to manifest your true self. You don't make a living because you have to pay the bills. What can I do? There's a mortgage I have to pay. That bills I have to pay. You don't make a living for that. No. That's not a living. That's making a death. That's making a dying, a long, painful dying. Because, you know, people have no reason to live. They leave. You know, they have an exit that takes 40 years of misery.
So, Virgo is about this call of the soul that is awakening. And it's easier to listen to it and to attach to it and to find it. And to return to the true me. The real true me.
Which is, yeah, it says that the desire that the human being is evil for earth.
Whoever heard that? And a lot of religions are based on that.
But it doesn't say it's just the human heart, not the human soul.
The human soul is perfect and it's godly from birth. It's the human heart, the human body that has imperfections that we have to overcome.
That's, you know, this is what life is really about, is to get lost and to find myself. That's what life is about, because if you don't get lost, you cannot have this greatness of finding myself. I worked so hard for it and I found it finally, and now developing it and making it to be manifested. That's the greatest victory of a human life. And therefore we come into a body, and what is the body about? Creating the mess. Fear, aggravation, stress. And that's how it gives us the opportunity to look through and to sift through the mess and the rubble and to find the real self, which is the glory of finding your true self. So basically we have that tshuva, which is return to the true self. And that's very important. Now why do we need Mercury in that? The design is like this. Mercury, as we said, is created by the letter Resh. Resh is a very powerful letter because it's a very hungry letter. You see the way the letter Resh is being written? It's like it's when you write, you know, lowercase R. R and Resh are the same, but without the little thingy on the top in the corner, right? The Resh has a corner, the R has a corner, and there's a little thing. The Hebrew Resh is without it. It's the same, but without it, and the other direction, because you're writing right to left in Hebrew. Okay. Well, but if you look at that letter, there's nothing inside, there's nothing outside. It's empty. Totally empty. It's, and Resh in Hebrew means poor. Exactly the opposite in Latin languages. Resh is rich. In Hebrew, Resh means poor, which is the opposite of what it looks like. Now, what does it mean? We know that Mercury is the fastest planet. 88 days, that's a year of Mercury. It's the fastest planet, and in the Greek mythology, Mercury was the messenger of the gods. Which means it's a planet of communication. It's fast, communication. What do you need? Why is communication connected to the Resh? Because communication is existing when there is a hunger. If there's a person who's not interested in any information, would be interested in any communication? No. Would there be any communication? No. Same thing, merchandise. Or if there's no demand, there's no supply. And if there's supply and there's no demand, it gets stale. Why? Because there's no communication. Communication exists when there's a need. Resh is about need. And the stronger the need, the fastest is the communication. And that's why the name for the planet Mercury in Hebrew is Kochav. Kochav is all about communication. Kochav is made, if you read here, it's very clear, and you know Kabbalistic symbolism, it's very easy. It's two parts, Kochav. Ko, Kavav, it's not a word in Hebrew, it's a number. It's 26. And what is 26? The Tetragrammaton, the name of God.
Yud Kei Vav Kei is 26. That comes up,
the moment 26, Kavav. This is it. What is 26? 26 is when you say the blessing, Baruch Ata Hashem, Baruch Ata Ado, right?
You said the word. You, in the Torah itself, it
doesn't say Adonai, which is Aleph Daleth Nun Yud. It's written Yud Kei Vav Kei, the holy name of God.
Why we don't pronounce it?
Because it doesn't belong to our plane. It belongs to the higher planes of existence. You can't pronounce it because it doesn't belong over here. What you can pronounce is Aleph Daleth Nun Yod, which is this plane. The world of physicality, the world of physical reality.
Okay, so 26
is that world. The world of light,
the world of sharing, the world
of godliness. Okay? Then, what's the other part of the name of the
planet? Ko?
Chav. Chav, Kafbet, is not a word in Hebrew, it's again a number. Kafbet, whoever knows Hebrew, Kafbet,
what is, of course,
this is
22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. You know, remember in Hebrew, letters are also numbers. So you read a word, you read it as a number also. So your brain is thinking twice.
So let's say, you know, Israeli kids, when you grade 2 already, you're learning already gematria, numerology,
in public school. Okay?
So you just do, you know, when you're
bored in school, you just do numerology of names and stuff like this. This is both. So your brain is accustomed to see words also as numbers, and numbers as words. Okay?
So, Kafbet
is 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Hebrew alphabet is
the plane of existence
of this world, because there are four planes. The plane of Chokhmah, the plane of music. That's the highest plane. The second plane is the plane of Bina, is the plane of vowels. Of vowels means in Hebrew tnua, movements. Okay, then comes the plane of Tagim. Do you remember in the Hebrew, if you see the Hebrew letters in the Bible, in the Torah itself, they have crowns. The crowns is level, that plane. And the fourth plane, which is the earth plane, earthly plane, is the letters. So the letters, 22 letters, is the manifestation of.
That's why all the Kabbalists see everything made of letters.
So it's Chokhmah.
Chokhmah, Bina, Zeranpin.
Not that.
No. That is the combination of Chokhmah Bina.
Oh, okay.
It's still in that plane of Chokhmah Bina. Then comes Zeranpin, and then comes Malchut. Okay, Malchut is the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Okay, so when you see Kavav, Kavbet, 26, 22, oh! Kochav, it's a code that the planet Mercury is doing the communication between the upper world and the lower world. It's doing communication. That's why it's a planet of communication. What is communication?
Mercury, the messenger.
The messenger, yes. Good. Okay, so now we got it. Now we see that, you know, one of the commentaries of the Rabbah,
Rabbi Abraham ben David of Poskim,
is saying about Mercury that Mercury has.
One hand, it's communication that is like, you know, Mercury is ruling the journalism.
He's ruling
all kinds of electronic communication. When Mercury is in trouble, when Mercury is in retrograde, then you have problems with communication between people.
When it goes backwards.
And then you have problems in internet, you have problems in all kinds of communication starts to mess up when Mercury goes backwards, which happens once in a while. Okay?
Now, so usually that's what conventional astrology is talking about.
But here, the Kabbalistic astrology says there's another way of communication. Prayers are means of communication. So Mercury is responsible also for the energy of prayers to God.
And that's why it says ולא התחנונים והתפילות, and for Mercury
is responsible for imploring to God and for the prayers.
כי ממנו השתלשלו,
because they all come from the energy frequency of Mercury, communication, the messenger of the gods.
Right? וכמו שליח ציבור מתפלל עד לישראל ובני מלכות.
And it's like the cantor in a synagogue. What is the cantor doing?
The cantor's job is to unite all the prayers of the whole community and to make them get into the mood of, he's like the pilot that is navigating the ship of the prayers of the community. The job of the cantor is not to be a great singer, not to be a great singer, because it helps if it's a bad singer that can really hurt, but majorly to awaken people's emotions to connect to the true selves. Because that's the purpose of the prayer. What is the purpose of the prayer? To strike a better deal with God? He can't. He gave you the best deal possible. The problem is, you were not there when He gave it to you. You were busy hating, you were busy being upset, you were busy being
critical criticism about that is you're busy blaming, you were not there when he gave it to you. So the purpose of the prayer is to find yourself. And when you find yourself, you can find God in yourself. You can establish the communication. You can allow God finally give you what he wanted to give you who knows how many lifetimes ago. And he's still never giving up and giving. And you know what's the problem? Most of the pains and sufferings, you know what they are coming from? Because of the light of God. What is the major pain in today's life? Stress. Everything is stress related. What is stress? Pressure. What is pressure? Something big wants to go into a small place. Right? That's pressure. When the bliss of God goes to come into a small vessel, in a small brain, a small life, schlepping around, then you feel pressure, you're stressed. I know why I feel so much stressed. Yes, because God wants, you know, wake up, I'm trying to give it to you, and you just, you know, open up, let me give it to you. The moment you start to think big and to start connecting yourself, pressure is gone. You feel bliss. How come? Because you let just open up and let it in. Then it's not pressure. Then it's energy. Then it's energy. Can you imagine? We're leaving all this energy out. It creates stress. So we're running like crazy. What am I looking for? I don't know. I'm running. Maybe I'll find it. But if you can't find yourself, you can't find it, never. It's going to be in front of your eyes. You'll never find it because you don't know who you are. Mercury makes this communication easy on the month of Virgo. Okay? So now to see how it works, you have some magical words of one of the greatest Kabbalists. His name was Rabbi Tzvi Sasharovdinov. He lived in the 19th century. And he wrote amazing astrology books. But he wrote it in a different way that, you know, Western astrology is written. He's saying, first of all, what are the tools we're using in the month of Virgo? First of all, you have the two letters to meditate on, Reish for Mercury and Yud for Virgo. These have to be part of your daily meditation every day because it helps you, with the help of Virgo and the help of Mercury, to tap into the frequency that there, with the help of this frequency, it's easier to trace our true self. That's one thing. Okay? There's another meditation that helps us to connect to the energy of Virgo. The Zohar says that if you look, go back to the name of God that is not mentioned, Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Tetragrammaton, right? That if you look at the word, mathematically, you can reorganize the sequence of the letters 12 different times only. No more, no less than 12. You can write Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is the regular order. That's the order that stands for the sign of Aries. You can write Yud Kei Kei Vav. That's a sign of the Taurus. And so on every sign, basically because the Yud Kei Vav Kei has 12 different ways of conjugation or permutations of the letter sequence, each one of them is 1 month. Okay? So the combination for Elul, Virgo, is Hey, Hey, Vav, and Yud. Hey, Hey, Vav, and Yud. So, the meditation this month is Reish and Yud, and also Hey, Hey, Vav, and Yud. Okay? These are the meditations to the major meditations of this month in order to be able to awaken inside us that energy of tshuva, which is returning to ourselves, to our true, real self. The more we meditate with these letters, what I mean to meditate with these letters, you have to contemplate on the letters. Feel the letters. Start to vibrate the letters. Say it again and again in your brain. Repeat it again. Look at the letters and try to become one with the shapes of the letters. Till your whole body and mind starts to vibrate this frequency. When you're on that frequency, it's easier to find your true self. And then you can hold on to it for the rest of the year.
Okay, so what do we have over here? So he's saying the days of Elul are called also days of appeasement, days of forgiveness. It's like, does God need to forgive? No, because he's never angry. Right? How can he forgive if he was never upset about me? He always loves me. He always feels I'm the greatest. And about each one of us. Okay? And unique and precious, whatever. You know, can light see darkness?
If we're talking about a photon, physically. If a photon, a ray of light,
can it see darkness? No, because everywhere it goes, it's not darkness anymore. Can the light see our shortcomings? The light of God? No. Can't. Wherever he goes, it's light. So, he sees us. Perfect. So, when we ask for forgiveness, we cannot ask God to forgive us because he was never upset about us. It's all about, it's a word for, that's why again, you have to go to Hebrew.
Hebrew for forgiveness is
Salach. Salach, numerical value, is 98. 98 is Tzach. Tzach is 98, but it also means pure, purified and cleansed. So forgiveness,
when I forgive someone, I really purify
myself. That's what forgiveness is about. It's about purifying myself. Not about, oh, I'll forget what you've done. You know, don't forget it, but forgive. And it belongs to him. And as long as I allow it to be his, it's his problem. Why do I have to make my problem? I don't have to. It's a choice.
The moment I release that,
I can cleanse myself.
And if it happened to me, and it inflicted pain on me,
that was my movie. That was my cassette. That was my... And now, my job is to cleanse it. To overcome it. To understand myself better. And you know what? If he didn't do it to me, somebody else will do it to me because I had to go through that in order to learn something. Okay? So, there's no place for keeping grudge anymore. Because, you know, that was his, that was mine. I dealt with mine.
He did with his. He didn't do deal with his. He did with his, deal with his.
None of my business. None of my business. My business is to clean myself. I'm not busy. I'm not supposed to clean somebody else. Not my job. I can't be somebody else's God. Even God cannot force somebody to be cleansed. The person has to want it. Otherwise, we'll all be righteous. Right? These are days of forgiveness, which means days are of cleansing and appeasement. So it says these are the days of Elul, the days of appeasement, the days that Moses came to Mount Sinai, but more than that, these are days of appeasement, and in Hebrew the word appeasement is again wrong, harsh translation, days of Ratzon. Ratzon comes from the Hebrew word to appease, but also comes from the word desire. Days of desire. Which means, these are the days we can find our true desire. What is our true desire?
To be creators.
To be God-like. To be sharing and loving and caring.
To be creative in the area that we were designed
to be creative.
Because if we don't create what we were sent
to this world to create, the world is going to miss that because nobody else can create what I was supposed to create. So these are days of Ratzon to awaken the souls to return. And it's like, he's saying it's like, there's an expression that says that the God's hands are open to for everyone who wants to return. And he says it's like, which is more in Hebrew, it's like he's using it as a metaphor. It's not is, but it's like. It's like in our imagination. Like God is waiting for us. God is there, sharing everything with us. Okay? But from us, the moment we feel that God is waiting for us, it's easier to go back home. Okay? In this month, it's easier to experience that desire.
that we really want to go back to God, than to be busy with, you know, being annoyed, upset, and all this stuff. Okay, you got it. Because in every person, בכל אדם יש מציאת טוב, every person has good and evil. ועל פי הרוב הרע מתגבר. For most people, the evil is getting overcoming, and a person, it's becoming so dominant that the person is totally sure that this is true self. Right? How many people you find them so right about being angry and upset? And it's so right, and it's so, and totally believe that it's the true thing to do. So what else should I do? You know, there's something wrong has been done. I should be so upset. Yes? So you think that being upset is godly. You think that your destiny in the world, in this world, is being upset. You think that when you're upset, you are more creative and more beneficial to yourself and to others. Do you truly believe in that? You know what? Most people do. Because that's what they do. Which means, when the untrue self is taking over, we can be totally, you know, subjugated to it. Without even a hint. That is totally a lie. Totally a lie. This is the month that it's easier to find our true self sifting through the rubble. And this is the time that the divine desire is awakening, to awaken the souls to return. Then the person finds in his mind the good frequency, so he can attach to it. It was there all the time. But there was so much noise, we couldn't hear that. In Elul, it's like the volume of the true self voice is becoming so much louder, it's easier to find it. And you know, when you're looking for a station on the radio, remember the old ones that you have this knob, and you have to really be careful when you're turning the knob. That's the same thing. But if it's not, if the sound is very faint, you'll miss it. In Elul, it's very easy to find your original frequency because it's very loud. And then a person can really have a true return. Then the person finds the good among all the noises that are inside his mind. Okay, there's other examples that Rabbi Tzvi Melech is saying, is giving us. He's giving like tons of them, but we don't have time to do all of them, but there's some really that are really precious. Another one is, for instance, it's a little bit more complicated one. Elul, again, numerical value is 67. Okay? 67 is also the same number of Bina. Chokhmah, Bina. Bina is the Godhead. Is the bottom of the Godhead. When we in Rosh Hashanah tap into the light, we tap into Bina. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Because that's the energy store of life for the souls. Okay? Elul, numerical value, is Bina. It's the road to Bina. That's why it has the same numerical value. Because that's what it wants to train us to be able to tap into that aspect of Bina. But what aspect of Bina? Now, Bina also is being called by the Zohar Tshuva Ila'a, divine repentance, divine return. Which means every time, and the Zohar, so by the way, it says that Moses is telling Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, you know, your book, the Zohar, is Bina. Is Tshuva Ila'a. Why? Because when you read the Zohar, even if you don't understand, it awakens your true voice inside you, and it's easier for you to get to tell your true self among all the other noises in your mind. So the more you read the Zohar and study the Zohar, the more chances you have to tell. That's written in so many places by so many Kabbalists, that just reading the Zohar and studying the Zohar is awakening that power and that energy of return, because it makes that sound. More than that, it makes you, you know, all of these
voices and sounds and noises, they become like a virus. Right? They freeze your computer and you're stuck.
You can't move forward.
What the Zohar does, it cleanses all the viruses. It cleanses the viruses and makes your true self voice stronger so you can really move on. Okay? But also, because from Binah comes the bliss, it's called also the supernal mother.
Because like the love of the mother, the supernal mother.
And from Binah comes the love and the sustenance
and all the fulfillment. But also judgment comes from Binah.
I don't want to go into why judgment is coming from Binah. Because Binah is the place that there is an awakening of the desire. Remember, we spoke about desire? So, although it's awakening of the desire to cleave to God, the moment it's an awakening, it's a judgment.
Because it's from the vessel. It's from below.
But there are two ways that manifests in the when it evolves to the physical world. It evolves like it's me, my voice, my noise, that masks God's voice and God's light. Or if I awaken my true desire and I use that frequency to tap into my true desire, the moment I recapture that frequency with excitement to return, then all the judgments that are because of my false self noise, they become sweetened up and
they settle down. It's very fine tuning, this kind of.
The source of judgment is from Binah. But when I really connect to the real source of it, which is awakening myself to truly desire, then it fixes all the time I awaken myself to false desires. It's like, you know, that similar heals similar. It's like, you know, if a person, let's say somebody is angry about.
But you are a great recorder.
So when a person is angry at his best friend, let's say, you know, people can be angry in different intensities, right? When they're very angry and they're angry with a lot of intensity, okay, and it's very noisy and screaming and yelling and door slamming and stuff like this, if you want to cleanse that, you have to create exactly the opposite and the opposite direction and the same amount of energy in order to fix it, right? You have to do much more acts of love and caring, which are very much more vocal and strong in order to fix it. Correct? You can't do just like, forgive me please, I'm really sorry about it, and you know, you forget, it's okay. No, you don't do that. You have to be much more, which means, you understand what I'm saying? It's like, so this, that's the same in Binah. You have the judgments. So you have the ability to get there, the sweetening, which means the worse was the negativity I created, the stronger is the energy. When I turn it around, I can use that energy in order to fix it.
So that's what I was saying. So then, to continue, when a person is really returning, so if it was, you know, he was creating negativity with a lot of excitement, so it will create the positivity with a lot of excitement. And that will balance themselves. And there he's saying, and then when it's being sweetened, then it will be sweetened in the source. Sweetened in the source means that if we take the word Elul, the name of the month, Elul, and when you say, you look at the word, the letters are Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed. Now, there's another way of gematria, of numerology, is when you do numerology of the word, the name of letter, which means Aleph could be 1 or 111. How could Aleph be 111? Aleph is 111. How? Because in the sound Aleph, you have A, 1, Le, the Lamed is 30, and Nef,
She's 80.
Together, 111.
Okay? That's called milui. When you spell out the letters. So when you do spelling out of the letters of Elul, then it's Aleph, 111.
Okay?
Lamed. Lamed is Lamed Mem Daled. Lamed, you hear also the M and the D.
Vav.
There's another V, right? It's two V's.
And Lamed, again. So if you do that and you remove the source, which is the original letters, Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lam, the Elul, you're left with the number, you stay with 208, including the four letters, without including that four, which is, you add four letters, but they're gone. You get 208. 208
is Yitzchak, Isaac. And Isaac is the chariot of judgment. So, what we do in Elul, we can connect to the source of judgment in Elul and sweeten it
in source. Okay? Another thing.
Going back to prayers.
So there was a parasha of
Vayechanan.
Parasha of Vayechanan, and that Moses is saying, and I implored to God.
And I was begging to God. I was praying to God. When was it? That was,
yes,
in the month of Elul. In the month of Elul,
after fighting the two kings
of the Amorites before entering the Holy Land.
So here he's saying, like, what is the connection to us? Because the two kings of the Amorites, they were idol worshippers, whatever, but they were symbol of the two
doors, the gates of the Holy Land. And they were locking, they were disturbing, they were two bad energies to be removed. And we are now in Elul, which is a gate towards the New Year. And so we have the energy of prayers in this month through Mercury, Kochav, and Betulah, the Virgo, to allow us through the prayers and repentance and return to remove doors that are blocking away all of this dirt negativity from entering a new year that is going to be really a new year, not a recycled, chewed up year, but it's going to be a really fresh new year.
Okay, and one more thing. Okay, one more thing is like that is very famous. Elul is being perceived as also initials of Ani Ledodi Vedodi. It's from Song of Songs, chapter 6, verse 3. Ani Ledodi Vedodi Li means I am for my beloved and my beloved is for me. Which means true love between two entities. Who are the two entities we're talking about?
It's the soul and the light of God. So it's a love song between the soul and the light of God,
but of course you cannot love someone else if you don't love yourself. And of course you can't love yourself if you don't know who you are.
Right? If your
true self is. Which means Elul is I am for my beloved, my beloved is for me. But if you go into the last letters of the words of the sentence, Ani Ledodi, Vedodi Li, it's for you. Four youths?
40. 40 days between the new moon of Elul and
Yom Kippur, which is the completion of the word. But also, four youths are in America also. Elul. When it comes together, you do the numerical value of all the Elul with the numerical, with the, how do you call it, the spelling out. It's Hakef.
Hakef is surrounding.
God is, usually when you say Hakef, it's like the walls of a city that surround the city to protect it. Same way God is preserving, protecting, and saving on during this time that, to make sure that the prayer will go higher and make the connection, which is
surrounded with protection that is this month that is not available in other months. And one more is this
protection is Hakef.
This month.
The month of Elul. Okay. Now, there's another one. This is from the gate of verses of Sukkim, from the Ari, Rabbi Isaac Luria. And he says over there, I don't know if you know, but in the Jewish law, in the ancient law, if somebody killed another person and it was proven that that was by mistake, the killer has to run away to a refuge city and stay there till the high priest dies. But if he leaves the city, the family of the victim can, take a revenge and kill him. The word is, in case that God made him kill the other person, the verse is from Exodus 21:13. Va'elokim ina liyado v'samti lecha. If God made someone kill another person, I will give you, I will put for you a refuge city. Now, initials, Elul. Elul. What's the connection? It says, the initials Elul over here, it's to hint us that even if the person is not conscious of what's happening to him, because he's like busy doing with unconscious about his life, as we said, helping himself from one place to another, totally with no conscious about who I am, what I am, what do I want to do, and what. Okay. So if he's totally unconscious, still, the month of Elul comes, God supplies him a place to run away to. Which is a place to run away to, a hiding place that he can hide over there from all his troubles. What's his hiding place? That's my true self. Only when I find my true self, I can really come to appeasement and peace. Otherwise, I'm always under stress, because always there's a pressure that something is missing. So, even if the person is not thinking about it, not looking for it, in Elul, the voice of his soul, will be so strong that even if he's not looking for it, he might have bumped into it and say, "Oh my God, this is me. This is the real me." And then he will have special thoughts to return to who I am, what I am, what I'm doing. What is this kind of life? If he has no support from friends around him, he usually falls back. It's easier. Into the forgetfulness of the schlepping around. Okay.
So God didn't literally tell the schlepper to kill someone. This was a metaphor?
No, it happens. Why did it happen? That's going into the race. Like, why did it happen? We're talking about it. He's seeing it as a metaphor. Although, why does it say that God made him kill him?
Yeah.
You go to court.
Right.
Somebody killed somebody in an accident. Okay? It was an accident. You go to court, he says, "What do you want?" It says in the Bible that God made me do it. What do you want from me? Go and sue God.
That's a, how do you call it? A divine intervention.
Insanity plea.
No. It says in the Bible.
Yeah.
Correct?
So was that...
So, no. So, of course... Why does it happen? Why did it happen that you didn't notice and you made an accident and you killed somebody? Probably who knows how many people you already killed and hurt before without realizing, because when you schlep around, you have no idea what you're doing. You can hurt, step on people, create pain and misery, and you have no idea you're doing it. What is this like accident that happened? It's not an accident. It's like it's a wake up call. Why do you have to go to a refuge city? The refuge cities in Israel were university cities. They were places of study. Because why do you have to run away? Can't the law protect you? What happens if you run to that city and after a month the high priest dies? You can go home. And the family of the deceased are not allowed to touch you. So why can't the law protect you like today in modern times?
If you killed somebody,
and that was a mistake, and court proves that that was a mistake, the family are not allowed, and nobody is allowed to touch you, correct? Not in biblical times. So why do you have to go? You didn't do it. It's that God made you do it. You have to think about why, what, you know, tshuva. You have to find, you lost your voice.
You lost your true self. That's why you have to run away. You know, finish business, say goodbye to your family,
go and sit there till you find yourself. Then you come back home. Okay? So the question you were asking before about, so, you know, who's judging the person? If God is unconditional love, who's judging the person? Of course God is not judging the person. He is incapable of judging. He's not judgment. The judgment is the person himself. The actions of the person are judging him. They're simply coming back at him. So the whole thing of coming all the way to Rosh Hashanah, it's a war in which we are supposed to find our true self and then using that to fend ourselves from all the false self. And when we just disassociate ourselves from that, from the misery and the pain and the depression and the blame and the anger and the jealousy, when I disassociate myself with that, it dies because it's not me anymore. I don't feed it anymore. And when it dies, Rosh Hashanah comes, it's not there anymore to run after me. I killed it. I killed the enemy, my real enemy, by just simply not feed it anymore. Not seeing it anymore as me. And then the whole thing about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it's the final blow that with the blowing of the shofar and with all the tools of the prayers, I can use the energy of these days, days of judgment, to basically connect to the love of God and not to the judgment.
Okay. Of course, he has some much more than that, but this is good for now.
Thank you very much.